All righty. Good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. We want to welcome everybody that's online and everybody that is here. And just great to see each and every one of you today. We have a few announcements we're going to share with you, but we will talk about that a little bit later on. We're going to sing a few songs, take up an offering, praise the Lord a little bit, and then we're going to get into God's Word. So I hope everybody's had a good week. It's going to get hot here today. So I was enjoying the fall weather there for a while, but sometimes you don't get what you want in life, and that's what we're going to talk about. When life just doesn't seem fair, what do you do? And we're going to talk about that today. So we still have people coming in from the parking lot, and we're setting up more chairs. So wonderful. We have a few of the, you can tell these are the most expensive chairs because they're up front. Nobody wants those. But if anybody wants a piano stool, they can have it after music. Okay, well, let's just do a little toe tapping, and then we'll get into some. Are you glad to be here?
Yeah, it
is. Okay, just check. Whole bunch of questions. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the blood of the Lamb, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to His name. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? So rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood of wine. Glory to His name.
Highest mountain and close to the Lord.
about you. I lose my power. Every now and then you just have a long day and you just, by the end of the day, you're just going, okay, I'm done. That's it. God's power never gives out. He will always give you that strength. He will always give you that presence. He will always give you that hope. He will always give you that grace. He will always, you want me to keep on going? Always give you that forgiveness. And he just keeps on giving. You think the Energizer Bunny is something, you haven't met our Lord and Savior yet, because he never gives out. And his blood always has that power that we need. And it's kind of interesting that we're talking about the blood, because that's exactly what the sermon's going to be about. Because, you know, when we go through life, I use the little Charlie Brown in the football. Poor little Charlie and Lucy. You know, Lucy has that football up there, and Charlie thinks, finally, I'm going to get to kick the football. And I've read Peanuts for years, but I don't know if he ever gets to kick the football or not. I'm not for sure his foot ever hits the ball. I don't believe he does either. Sometimes that's what happens in life. Everything's going great. You just think, here we go. I'm getting ready to score a goal. I'm getting ready to get a promotion. I'm getting ready to go on a trip, or I'm getting ready to get married, or to have a nice meal, or whatever it is in your life. Then all of a sudden, pulls it away. How do you deal with that? And that's what we're going to talk about later on. We're going to have the deacons come up, if you would. And I got to catch my breath. Is it hot in here?
Yes.
Okay, it's hot outside. I had it down to 69 this morning. You guys just brought in the heat with you, apparently. It is hot. We have a COVID safe friendly truck and treat. Truck and Treat's one of those events this year, or every year, that we really, really, really enjoy having. And it's a community event. It's free. And that, along with the live nativity, is another one of those events that we have. We've come up with two events that's going to be those events, just in a creative way. And this is going to be our trunk and treat event. We're not asking this year for everybody to go out and buy candy. We're trying to be very cautious with how many people touch anything. So if you want to donate to the candy fund, that's fine. Just leave that with Annie or Jane or somebody, Jack or whatever, and say, hey, this is for candy. And we'll go out and one person will buy all that candy, and then they're going to come in with gloves and mask, bag all the candy in the bag. And in that bag is going to be a little pumpkin flashlight, all the stuff about the church. I don't know if you got the church newsletter yet. But also, we're hoping to have DVDs of the Jesus movie for every person, every car that comes by. And we're going to have a unique way. And Anna, I think you and Luann and Terry and Elisa and all, they're going to come up with a neat way to, when the car pulls up, we count how many kids are in there. You'll have a tube. That's going to be a fun way to do it, to slit up, and they will slide the bag right into the car, and you won't be touching anybody. So it'll be very safe for the community. But I got a feeling that a lot of people aren't going to allow their kids to trick or treat. Probably some churches are not going to be having it. Probably the city. I don't even know what the city's doing. If they're doing something different, we have to be creative this year. But I thought it was important enough to reach out to the families like we always do. Life isn't over just because of COVID. We need to keep on going and trying to just get creative with the way we do that. So if you want to help with that, you're welcome to. But that'll be Saturday, October 31st. Is our fall festival, 5:30 to 7:30. And we're asking that people don't come and sit around and watch. We'll have just a few people on the front porch, and we'll be greeting them at the off the highway. And the live nativity is going to be a hoot too. We got a neat way of doing that too. So looking forward to that. So thank you for that. Tiles have been, you know, we ask if you go out to the building, we just ask you don't go out to the building until next Sunday. The tile work's almost all done in the men's bathrooms. They're going to be finishing up the walls Tuesday, and then finish up the big women's bathroom. And so probably by mid part of next week, that'll be done. And then the stools go in, the latrines go in, the bathroom stalls go in. Now, did you ever think that you would talk about latrines and urinals on a broadcast around the world. But anyway, for us folks, it's here. It's important. I don't know about anybody else, but we're tired of going out back. But anyway, that'll be all the indoor plumbing that we have in the new facility. We lost about 5,000 viewers. So okay, enough of that redneck from Texas. But anyway, I think that's what's happening. Keep praying for our building and keep supporting. And I appreciate all the gifts that you've been given to that, and just your faithfulness. They want us to be done, and we're looking at very hard pressure to be done around Thanksgiving time. So that's what we're kind of shooting for, to be done with the building part of the construction. And then we'll work on the parking lot, and I really want to have Christmas Eve in there. We're going to try to. So that's what we're shooting for. So thank you for your patience. Gwen, do you have a prayer in you? We're going to have you, if you would just lift up the offering and the ministries that they go to. We're still collecting for the Reach Texas offering. And if you're interested in that, there's all these envelopes and the book that you can find out and pray. And the envelope looks like this, or you can just simply put in the memo of a check, Reach Texas. And that's the offering that goes around to all the places that need ministry in Texas from the Southern Baptists. Okay, Gwen, if you would, please.
We thank you now, Father, for this day. We thank you for the privilege to attend a church service such as this morning of our own choosing, where we can come and worship you of our own choosing. Bless us now, Father, as we go through this week. Bless us as we go into our new building out here. Bless each and every one here today, our Father. You know, and I know there's a lot of people who need your blessings. Go with us now throughout the rest of this service. If we take up this offering, our Father, guide, guard, and direct us in everything that we do. This thing we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
church service without doing one Bill Gaither song. And you know this because it's just one line throughout the whole thing. But feel it because it's good. Worthy. Sing that worthy line about 10 times. But you have to sing it until you feel it. Because he is worthy. No matter what's happened in our life, I think sometimes, you know, I'm not a big where you do one course for 20 minutes, you know, like some of the modern worship bands and stuff, but, you know, I'm not knowledgeable in that kind of stuff. But I think every now and then you just need to feel and say, it's all right, just close your eyes. Because you got a feeling that when we get into the presence of God himself, we're going to realize his worth. And his worth is going to just absolutely lay you out. And I just can't wait. So you may want to say amen to this, but we are out of the book of Jonah. We're finished with Jonah, so we're just going to talk about something else. I want you to get into your Bibles. If you would, we're going to talk in, if I think, try finding 1 Peter. It's right before 2 Peter. And to my knowledge, I think it's in the New Testament. So check it out towards the back end of it. We're going to eventually get to 1 Peter, probably around chapter 2. What do you do? When life falls apart, what do you do when you're whistling Dixie one day and then suddenly the carpet was pulled right out from underneath you and left you in a total turmoil? Am I the only one that's been there, done that?
No.
Okay. Two others. Thank you. The rest of you are all lying. The altar will be open at the end for the invitation. What do you do? That's what I kind of want to think about. I wanted to talk about the weekend of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and find out some things that happened during that that we're going to be able to relate to in our own life. And I like doing this. I like taking God's word and not just preach it, but to put skin on it. And the skin on it, sometimes it's your skin. So we'll put shoe leather on the bottom of the scripture and try to apply it to my life. Okay, you can read the Bible several different ways, but if you just read it and go, okay, I'm done, I'll read the next chapter the following day. But if you don't stop and say, okay, what did that mean? Not only in the context that it was given back in those days, but what kind of truth can I pull out of that? Can I drill a little bit deeper to get something that's going to be able to be applicable to my life? Because that's what it's all about. This is just as goofy as, and I've talked about this illustration, but it's real to me because I can never put a bookcase together I can't put anything together that you buy at IKEA. Okay, you with me? IKEA, come up with something different. Okay, great prices, great store, love IKEA. But tell you what, if you don't have the instructions, you're in trouble. And it'd be just as goofy as to go out and buy all that stuff, read the instructions, and go, oh, I don't need this, and just throw that away and go, okay, here's all the pieces. I'll be able to figure this out on my own. And us men are famous for this because the wife will be over there and say, what is this piece, dear? Honey, don't bug me. I am working. This is serious stuff. I have this under control. Amen. Go make me some cookies. I wouldn't advise you to say that this day and age anymore. Because most of the time, if the men will get out of the way, the women can get it done and get it done right. A lot faster. I have to say that to the world because I'm outnumbered today. Us men are outnumbered, so we're not going to start a fight. We wouldn't mind fighting, but I think they'd probably whip us. Same way with God's word. Why would I want to read it and not apply it? So many of us, we're going to look at some scriptures and go, wow, that's good. But don't just leave it there. What's that mean to me? How can I apply that to not only what happened to me last week, but what's going to happen to me this week? And that's what we're after. So how does the weekend and the resurrection of Jesus Christ help me get through what I'm going through right now? Just some truths before we get to the word. Because when Jesus came out of that grave, he proved that he was exactly who he said he was. Effort? Is this on? Did anybody hear that?
I did.
Okay. He's exactly who he said he is. That means when we read something in the Word, if he says it, promises it, then that means it's going to happen to you. That is still good. The word's still powerful. He still is worthy. So he keeps his word. The second thing that Jesus' empty grave proves to me is that there's life after death. Amen to that. Because you know, E.V. Hill, the old famous Los Angeles preacher, this ain't it. I hope this ain't it. Because I'm waiting for heaven. Because this ain't it. There's life after death. And then the third thing is that Jesus gave us, and I want you to catch this, a model, an example of exactly how to handle your life when it falls apart. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you haven't found it yet, get in the index. Okay, get help. I gave you 10 minutes to find it. First Peter 2:19. If you're there, say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You might have to suffer, even when it's unfair. But you think of God and stand in the pain, God is pleased. Skip down to verse 21, just the next verse down. Remember that Christ suffered for you and gave us an example to follow. So you should do as he did. Jesus Christ suffered for each of us. In that suffering, he gave us a pattern of what we need to do in our own life when we suffer. So he says, if you love him, if you honor him, and if you want to follow him, then use what he did. And he's going to show us an exact example here. So turn it, if you would, in John chapter 20. Tell him we'll call him back in about a half hour. John chapter 20. That Sunday evening, verse 19, John chapter 20, verse 19. This is all intro. This didn't cost you a thing already. This we haven't got to the outline yet. That was all free, okay? So we haven't got to it yet. So John chapter 20, verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were huddled together in a home. The doors were locked for fear of the authorities. Suddenly, Jesus appeared, standing there among them, and they were frightened. So Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Then he showed them the nail scars in his hands and where he'd been pierced in his side. At that point, everything changed. The disciples were overwhelmed with joy when they realized that it really was the Lord. Now, you're going to see three different phases during this weekend that we're talking about in Scripture. And I want you to write these three phases down. The Friday phase. The Friday of what they were going through. They just witnessed Jesus Christ being crucified on the cross. We can't imagine. I don't even think we can fathom what that was even close to being like. But on Friday, that should be a resemblance of what we do and handle on our days of fear and pain. You're going to face, I promise you, and I want you to catch this. You're going to face Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in each of your lives. Some of you right now are dealing with Friday. Death has entered into your family. The worst possible situation has happened to you, and it's just devastated you. You are in fear and pain and hurt, grief, suffering, and you don't know how to get out of it. You're at the Friday mode. I just want to let you know, we got two more days to get to. And you're going to get there, but you have to understand, what do I do when it's Friday? What did they do? These were the disciples. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to go off camera here. They went to the place and shut the door and locked it. And they were making sure that nobody got to them because they were afraid. How many of us have done the very same thing when something comes into your life, rips your guts out, and what do? You go in and close the door, turn off the lights, and go, okay, I'm not answering the phone. Nobody talked to me. I am scared to death. That's exactly what the disciples did. So you're not out of the norm. That's a natural reaction. But I want you to see how Jesus gave them he greased the wheel. He told them, Friday's coming. How many times did he tell them that? You can read it all the way through the New Testament. Friday's coming. So what did Jesus do to say, hey, when this day hits you, I want you to remember this. He gave them an example. I want you to see this. The first thing I want you to do on your Friday is to reach out to friends, to other family members. Jesus showed how to do this. It was the night before in Matthew 26, 36 through 39. Jesus was sitting there and he said, Jesus took his disciples with him to Gethsemane. And he said, and Philip, you and Jack and Philip and Becky, and you'll go to this garden, right, Philip? Yes, Gethsemane and Philip and Becky and all them that went. I'm waiting for somebody to invite me to go with you. Anyway, so you know what kind of garden we're talking about. He said, okay, wait. He took his friends with him. He said, just wait here with me, but I want you to be with me. You catch this? I want you to see this. He took his disciples with him. Circle that in your Bible. He didn't go alone. Jesus did not go, okay, wait, this is going to be the worst weekend of my life. I got to get away and get my thoughts together by myself. He said, hey, guys, come with me. That's the key. That's what you need to do. Yeah, you can still have alone time, but there was a key there. There was an element of, I want you to come along with me. And he said, just stay here with me while I pray. Then he took Peter, James, and John. He took the three closest ones to him, the inner circle, the ones that he could really trust. You with me? So he says, okay, hey guys, you all stay here. Get my mask right without taking my shoes and socks off. That all because Judas wasn't there then, right? I don't know if he was there yet because he was out getting ready to betray him. No, because he comes up later with the guards. So no, he's not there. So he says, stay back. I want to take the other three with me, Peter, James, and John. And that inner circle. Now, can you imagine what he was telling them on the way to the next location? Guys, this is going to be tough. Hang with me. Be there with me. Support me. Love me. Don't give up on me. This is going to be a tough weekend. But watch what I'm doing. Stay awake. Pray along with me while I go on and pray by myself. He took Peter, James, and John a little further. And look at this. He was filled with anguish and deep distress. Gut-wrenching anxiety, hurt, pain. And he said to them, we missed this. We missed this. We have all the pictures. Matter of fact, some of you may have Polaroids of what it looks like of Jesus sweating great drops of blood while he was having a prayer. He's not praying yet. Do you see this? He's with his friends. Then he goes with his inner circle. And then he expresses to them, this is crushing. Keep reading this. Because this is part that we leave out of the Easter story altogether. He tells them this. My heart is so overwhelmed and crushed with sorrow that I feel like I'm dying. Anybody been there? Yeah. Anybody been there now? Maybe. But look what happens. Matthew 26, 36 to 39. And then he says, just sit here. Watch with me. Then Jesus took a few more steps. Then he fell to the ground and he prayed. And that's when he perspired blood into the agony and just blood vessels were popping and he was just praying to the Lord. So he reached out to his friends on Friday. Then he turned right around, point two under Friday. He also reached out to God, talked to his friends and his family, his closest people. It may be family, it may not be, may not have family, but his closest inner circle. And then he reached out to God. Mark 14, 35, Jesus fell face down on the ground and prayed. If it's possible, he would not have to suffer the pain ahead of him. And he prayed, Abba, Father, I know you can do all things, and I don't want to have to drink this cup of suffering. Nevertheless, I want your will, not mine, to be done. Mark 14, 35 and 36. I want you to see right there, there's some points on how to pray when life is unfair. Catch this. This is worth leaning in for. This is worth waking up for. I want you to see. First thing, he prays. My heart is so overwhelmed, crushed with sorrow. I feel like I've been dying. Just sit here. Oh, where was that? Okay, no. And Mark, he prayed, Abba, Father, I know you can do all things. So he prayed. He affirmed, God, you can get me out of this. Not away from it, but through it. You have the power. Now, there's people watching right now that I know are watching that needs this. God, you can get me through this. I know you have the power because you can do anything. So you want to affirm God's power, and then you want to express what you want him to do. I don't want to do this. I don't want this pain. I don't want to feel like this anymore. I don't want to have restless nights anymore. I don't want to be scared all the time and have my door locked and try to stay away from people. I don't want all that anxiety. Tell God what it is you want. I know you have the power. Here's what's on my heart. Express what you want him to do. And this is where we drop the ball. We all start the prayers the same way, do we not? Oh, Heavenly Father. Now, Jesus was a little more personal, and you know all that. The Abba, Father, means daddy. And, you know, there's people that preach a whole sermon just on that. It was just saying that there's an intimacy there that he had. It wasn't just the Lord's Prayer repeated 10 times. It was from the heart. But you need to affirm his power. Tell him your desire. And then the third thing is, this is where we drop the ball. Tell him, I trust you. There's a key word in that verse. Nevertheless, if this is what I have to suffer, I trust you'll get me through it. Nevertheless, offer your trust to him before you say amen. Some of us, before we ever get halfway through the prayer, go, I know this isn't going to work. That chubby preacher down there on O'Day Road told me this. I knew this wasn't going to work. Before you ever say amen, acknowledge his power. And then trust. Express your desire. Then offer your trust. Then Hebrews 2:18. Write this down. Hebrews 2:18. Since Jesus went through suffering and temptation, he knows what it's like when we suffer and are tempted, and he is able to help. Hebrews 2:18. I need that. Now, what happens on Saturday? Saturday represents not only your fear and your pain. That's Friday. Saturday in your life represents your confusion and your grief. You're going to have many days like this too. You're going to have days of pain and fear, but you're going to have days in your life that's filled with just, I don't know what to do. I've tried everything. I tried every pill. I tried every doctor. I tried every natural herb. I tried every slushy drink. I've tried everything, and it's just not happening. Imagine the full range of emotions that the disciples were going through that night, that day. 2 days ago, they were just walking around with him. The day before, they just watched him have the most brutal death in the history of our world. And Saturday, it's dark. Emotionally dark. Confused. Grief that just sometimes rips into us. In Matthew 26:31, write this down, but I'm going to read you the Message version because it tells it in such a beautiful way, but you can look it up in yours. It's the same thing, just a different way of saying it. Matthew 26:31 goes like this. Then Jesus told them, before the night's over, you're going to fall to pieces because of what happens to me. Your version may say that different. You're going to go through stress. You're going to go through anxiety. You're going to go through all kinds of stuff because you're going to be witnesses of what I have to endure on the cross. And then, what if I told you in a few days, your world's going to come crumbling down? I have knowledge of this. And I sit down and talk to you, and I say, your world's going to just crumble. How would you handle that? How would you deal with that? And then he goes on to say in Mark 14:27, all of you are going to desert me. All of you are going to leave me. But the scripture tells that in prophecy, that the shepherd will be stricken and the sheep will scatter. Prophecy. It had to happen. Did it? Matthew 26:56. The disciples abandoned Jesus and ran away. Here's the question of the day. Have you ever deserted God on your Saturday when you was confused, when you was in doubt, when you was in pain, when you was in fear? He told him, it's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's called life. Have you ever just bailed out on him? See, that's it. I'm done. I was told by somebody years ago that if I become a Christian, I wouldn't have any of this stuff. Whoever told you that was dead wrong. It's called life. It happens to us. So you have to hang in there, but don't desert God. Don't run away from him. The disciples all did. How to handle that? Probably the only way that I know how to handle it is to remember the promises of God. I don't have wisdom. I figured I'd get everybody to say amen on that, but I don't have wisdom but I'm standing in the funeral home of a baby, of a four-year-old, of a teenager. Folks, those are the days you just stand up and you go, I don't have the answers. But God's promises are still good. No matter what's going on in your life, there's some things that there's just not answers for. Somebody was taken away way too soon from you. Your husband left you. Your wife left you. Your kids cursed you and walked out, I have no dad anymore. I have no mom or whatever. Somebody stole everything that you ever had in your savings, and you trusted them with everything that you had because they were a dear friend, but they walked away with it all and be seen no more. We don't have answers to that kind of stuff. So you have to call on and revert to the promises of God. John chapter 16 says, John 16:16. Jesus said, here's what's going to happen. Soon I'm going to be gone and you'll be without me. But after a while, you're going to see me again. Then jump down to verse 20. You will weep and mourn and grieve, but your grief will eventually be turned into joy. It will be like a woman going through labor pains. I don't understand that. But you do. The women do. Listen to this. He's given us a perfect example. It's like a woman going through labor pains. When her child is finally born, her anguish, her pain turns to joy. Let me tell you. If I ever had a baby, I would never do it again. Just as soon as that baby is delivered, I would say, that's the last time I'm doing that. Don't even come close to me anymore, because that's never, doctor, why you got your scalpel, fix me so I never have to go through this pain again. But there's something different in a woman. They go through all this, every muscle, every vessel just ripped out of them. And then this gift of life is brought and put on their chest. And somehow they go, wow. When are we going to have another? And some of you are going, oh, no, not me, baby. But eventually you do. But he's given us an example that I just love. The anguish turns to joy because the new life wipes out the memory of the pain. Did you hear that? The new life erases the pain. In the same way, you'll go through sorrow now, but I'll be back and you will rejoice. And no one is going to be able to rob you of that joy. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Write this one down. And I don't even know, this is the NIV here. I don't even know what version you have, but when I saw this, does that really say it like that? So I want you to look this up in yours, or at least when you get home. Or on your phone or whatever. 2 Corinthians 1:20. This is one of those you want to put on your refrigerator and memorize. For all, you can underline it, you can circle it, you can highlight it in your word. For all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. Does it get any better than that? That means every promise through Jesus comes true. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. All of those promises that you need to find, to claim in your own life, it says they all become yes through Jesus Christ. Right there. That's beautiful. Isaiah 43:2. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I'm going to be there with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you're not going to drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you're not going to be burned up. The flames will not consume you because I am the Lord your God and Savior. Isaiah 43, 2 through 3. And one more Isaiah verse, 61, 3. To all who mourn, listen to this. To all who mourn, I will restore beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, and praise instead of despair. That was worth rolling out of bed for this morning, right there. Isaiah 61, 3. When I'm confused, when I'm full of grief, when it's Saturday, in the story of the resurrection in my own life, what do? You turn to the promises of God. And baby, you don't let go. Because he's going to restore you. I promise. Who cares if I promise? He promises. He promises. And then Sunday. So you have days of fear and pain on Friday. Saturday, you have days of confusion and grief. Sunday, you have days of freedom and joy. In John 11, 25, it says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, are going to live again, and I will give them eternal life for believing in me, and they will never perish. What do we need to do? We go through the fear and pain, the confusion and grief. We experience the freedom and the joy. I need to, throughout, rely on the power of God in my life. Give him that praise for that. Ephesians 1, 19. I pray that you're going to begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe. It is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Wow. Apparently you didn't hear that. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those that believe him. So no matter what you're going through, his power is going to get you through it. It is that same power that's going to get you through it that raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
If he can do death into life, he can bring sorrow into smiles. He can bring pain into somewhat of joy in your life. He can bring confusion into certainty in him. It says it right there. There's a promise. Claim it. Circle it. Pray it back to him. And then the last verse, and we're done. And where are we at? We're doing all right? 2 minutes. Wow. Romans 10, 9. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Romans 10, 9, because it says right there, I'm willing to help, in the Ephesians verse, which is catches, to those who believe in me. If you don't, you don't get the benefit of the help. Sorry to burst your bubble. God's not an 800 number that you just get to call and say, hey, I need you, but you don't believe in him. He's not your last resort. But Romans 10, 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, if confess, believe, then you shall be saved.
Amen. Amen.
You may need that today. You may need that here. Maybe been a member of this church for 50 years, but never been saved. It was just something you went through. Whatever you need to claim the promises, to get through those Fridays and Saturdays, to turn the grief into joy, you need it through Jesus Christ and your belief in Him. Dear Lord, we just want to come to you right now as we close and we give you all the praise and glory. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for living through that weekend to give us just not the story, not only the fact of salvation, not only the grace and the pathway and the door that leads us and gives us a direct path into heaven when we die, but Lord, also an example of how we need to live in our weekends of fear, confusion, pain, agony, doubt, and how to turn those Fridays and Saturdays, Lord, in our own personal life into joy with you. Lord, we give you all the praise. Let your Holy Spirit move in people's lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just please reach out to us. Let us know. I would love to have a text or an email or just an indication, and we'll reach back out to you and minister to you. But we just ask that everybody has an awesome day today, and thank you for being with us. Join us right here next week for another edition of Faith Springs Live. God bless you. Have an awesome week. God bless. Thank you for coming today. Thank you.